Third time was a charm for Ula and I. We had a little bit of issues getting connected, but we are on and super excited for today's episode. Ula, what are we talking about today?
Well, I need to, no, I don't need to do anything. No, wait, I need to think about this.
Wait. Okay, how many of you have had that dialogue run through your brain? I need to. No, I don't. Wait, I got to go back and think about this. So what does that all mean, honey?
So Gladys, tell me, how many times have you felt the need to do something or there's been a need that you need to have something?
All the time. And then how many times do I call you to need to talk it out so that I figure out what somebody else needs to do to make my life happier?
And how often does that need to do something or need to have something, how often does it feel good?
Never.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That is what we are talking about today, because there's a huge difference between needing something and wanting something.
Ooh, well, let's break that down, because as we were getting ready for today's episode, there were a few people who came into my orbit and thinking about them, like, what if they listen to this episode and what's that going to be like? And some of the needs that I know they have are around obligation to family, to children, right? To bills. So this is going to be a juicy one. And let's dive into how we can look at needs through a different lens, distinguish where there's a need versus a want, and then get rid of those little freaky nerds running through our brain that put us back in the car with a drunk driver of our thoughts and make us feel like shit when it comes to figuring out how to get these needs that we don't need met.
Yes. So generally, when we talk about something that is a need, it comes from a place of desperation. And that never feels good, right?
Well, let's break that down.
Okay. Well, how do you want me to break down the need and how it feels like a desperation?
Well, let's use an example. So let's take a mom who has kids that could say, I need to take care of my kids. I can't go frolic on the beach every day, even though that's what I really want, Ula.
Okay. Well, do you want the kids there with you or no?
No, I want alone time with myself. Come on.
Okay. So actually what it is that you want is time alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily have to be there on the beach, frolicking and being a bliss bunny 24/7. Most likely, if you're a mom, you do want the kids around, right? So it's something that you just have to start looking through a different lens that you've used to, like turning those needs into wants and seeing what it is exactly that I want. Okay, I need to take care of my kids. I have kids, so I know I need to take care of my kids, but I never say I need to take care of my kids. I get to take care of my kids and I want to take care of my kids.
Love that.
Yeah, and I trust that the universe will provide me whatever it is that I want and desire. Mm-hmm. And in the sense, the need is totally axed out of the equation.
So we are talking about this because a lot of times when we go through life and we end up with responsibilities and obligations, we see those things as needs. And that maybe get in, actually, let me take it back. We see those as things that get in the way of us getting our needs met. So we think our need might be, I just need a break. I need space. I need that. And all of these needs are reflective of your energetic space in that moment. And that's where that feeling of desperation that we're talking about is related to, because the need is coming from a place of lack, right? Versus I get to, like Ula, you get to take care of your kids, you get to pay your bills, you get to have the life that you chose to create, that's a very different energy. There's a resonance of that, of choice. And so today I want to prepare everybody listening that we can argue like what's a real need and what's not a real need, but we don't want to do that because we're not going to try to convince you somewhere that you're not. But if you're willing to look at anything that you have said that you needed through the lens of that coming from an energetic space of not having, and how that energy is a very different energy than the place of choosing because there's abundance and choice and opportunity, here's how we can close that gap so that that feeling of desperation and lack doesn't drive your decisions, which is always a bad choice because that's in being in the drunk driver's company of the car and being miserable.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I most often hear about the need versus want is taxes. Like, oh, I know I need to pay taxes, but I don't want to. Why would I ever want to pay taxes? And well, I mean, you can choose not to, right? It might not be the smartest decision you make, not paying your taxes, but you can choose not to. But you also can choose to look at taxes as something that you're supporting, something that you like good streets in your city, mm-hmm. or whatever your taxes are going to. You can look at those as, oh, this is going to help me to do XYZ. So I get to, even if you feel like, oh, well, I don't want to, but you get to pay taxes and you get to do your taxes. It's not always the most fun thing to do, but when you shift your thinking, all those little needs and have tos, they just kind of change form and they become a lot lighter and life becomes easier.
All right. End of episode. Enjoy, everybody.
That's it. That's all we have.
So sounds very simple. Yeah. And the reality is actually that is true. It is simple. Mm-hmm. I was having this conversation with a friend this morning that once you start to get this, right, get these principles that Ula and I have been talking about, really get that you have full control and choice over your perspective, get that a lot of us have been, all of us have been exposed to conditioning that tells us we need, that there's lack, that we don't have enough of, that life has to be hard, that you have to struggle. All of that is conditioning. And once you start to take back all those layers, it really is a simple choice of what's a perspective that I want to have in the moment. And I want to take this a little deeper because, yes, we could talk about taxes and we can talk about, you know, kids and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of angst and a lot of resistance when we talk about things happening in the world. So, you know, a lot of the tumultuous energy that we are currently in the world is around systems, political systems, right? Government systems, financial systems, education systems, healthcare systems, all of that. And there is a feeling that there's a big need for change, right? And let's talk about how to work with that, because what we said earlier doesn't change, even if we're talking about big issues like these. Mm-hmm. When we come from that place of there's a need for change, it's emphasizing that there is lack, which is important, right? Because that's the contrast. But in identifying the lack, if we energetically match the lack and are raising our fists of the air, this needs to change, this is not okay, this is terrible, this is that, they need to be more this, they need to be more that, then we are creating more of that energy of lack. And we might get to the other side where there's a change, but we're going to be miserable through the journey. And so let's talk about the alternative, how we actually go from shifting from that belief of need to seeing the opportunity of want and then letting the want drive a different kind of behavior so that we can still get to the other side where change happens, but it's not a tumultuous journey.
People always say about, you know, change starts with self, right? And it sounds to a lot of people corny, and it might sound like, well, how is that going to change anything? If I change myself, how is that going to change the fact that we need this in healthcare, or we need this in the political climate? And how is it going to change anything if I change myself? But when you change your own energy around that lack, and because of that lack, you see that, okay, we need to change, and you start to being part of the solution and not part of the problem, that's when we start to see the real change. So the change really does start with yourself. As corny as it sounds, and it's true, when you change yourself, you will start to see your surroundings, the people around you change, and you become part of the solution. You are part of that want, the desire, and not the need.
I love that, honey. And, you know, one thing that the word that came up is control, how this is such a... I go back to something that I said in the last episode. It's not like we are actively, consciously choosing to make our lives hard, right? And we're also not, we're not helpless in these situations, right? But we have not been given the tools or the understanding to know that there's an alternative. And so the alternative is one where we are fully choosing the perspective that we take. And we are taking ownership for our response. Okay. And there's a big difference between response versus reaction. A lot of times people are in reactive mode. And this came up, I don't know if Abraham Hicks was the one that said it where it registered for me. Yes, it was last week. I was listening to something that Abraham said, how most people navigate their life reacting to what's already in front of them, which is just regurgitating the past, because what's in front of you already happened. Mm-hmm. So if you're reacting to what already happened, then you are in no way in control of choosing your response. Okay. Now, your response is something that you are intentional about determining prior to anything unfolding in front of you. So if there is an injustice in the world, if there is an incongruency in your personal life, you being intentional about how you want to move through it is one of the most important things that you can do. And take the guesswork out of it. Most of us want to move through life with a lot more ease. So if that is your intention, then anything that comes up, it's up to you to control your thoughts, to stay on that path of ease. And if things get difficult in life, if there's pain that comes, if there's loss that comes, remembering that as you move through those emotions, you will be able to return to that state of ease as your default. That's your baseline. Doesn't mean you're not going to not feel the pain or the hurt, but you've already set that intention that you are going to move through things through a different lens and not one of desperation or lack or helplessness, but one of choosing the outcome that you most desire.
Yeah. Somebody yesterday told me that like the biggest revelation for them from our podcast has been that they realized that they can actually choose their thoughts.
Wow. Yeah.
I know, right? It's because that's you don't learn that from your parents or at school. Nobody comes and tells you that, guess what? You get to choose what you're thinking about.
Right.
that's not like home ed 101.
Mm-hmm. And it should be.
It should be. There should be a class that, you know, you can think whatever the hell you want. And you get to choose how you react to things. So if you don't react, if you just choose to go through life differently, and it's okay. And you don't have to need anything.
Yeah. And this again rubs up against that awareness that if you allow that, you have to be responsible for anything that happens in your life, which is where most people don't want to go. And I've been a culprit of that. People don't want to take responsibility when shitty things start happening, right? We don't want to take full ownership that if things are out of alignment in our life, that it's actually a reflection of misalignment within yourself, because everything starts within. So without whatever you see externally, you can choose to point the finger. You can choose to complain about it. You can choose to say they need to, I need to, this situation needs to. But all you're doing is now being in that reactive space and just regurgitating what's already happened. So you're chewing on a piece of meat over and over and over again. It's losing its flavor and you still keep chewing on it, hoping for some magical explosion of flavor to happen in your mouth. Now, if you take ownership for your life, what would change? If you really took ownership that anything that's happening in your life, whether you have a shitty dining experience at a restaurant, whether you go to a hotel and you're ending up arguing with somebody at the front desk, if you looked at those situations through the lens of what is this reflecting within me? And how do I want to navigate this next step? How do I want to respond? That's a high level of ownership, right? You'd have to let go of calling your friends all the time and complaining about other people, raising my hand, doing that. You'd have to give up feeling like a victim. You'd have to recognize all those moments that you've had in your life where you actually were creating some of the misery that you lived in. And we don't want to do that.
Of course not. And it's, I think as a society, especially now with all the reality TV and people loving the drama.
Oh,
I mean, there is so much drama on TV. And what do we do when we get home from work? We sit in front of TV and watch the drama unfold. And then we go to work and we talk about the drama we watched last night. And then we end up creating more drama at workplace and we come home and watch more, BS on TV.
Honey, are you saying I should stop watching reality TV shows?
No, if you can watch them and be like, whatever, that's not going to affect me, then yeah, go ahead and watch it. But I'm just saying it's not easy to choose your thoughts when you're filling your brain with crap like that.
Sorry, Real Housewives, we love you, but not the best thing for us choosing our energy that we want to live in.
Right. And it also have to mention, as somebody who works in TV and film, that all that stuff is scripted. And most of you out there don't know that it's scripted.
So what? Ooh, what are you talking about? The Kardashians? That's how they really live.
Kardashians was scripted? Yes.
You know what, honey? There's something powerful in that. It was scripted.
Yeah.
Even the reality TV shows are taking ownership of creating the experience that they want to have in this world. So why do you not do that in your own life, right? You have the ability, you have the tools, you have the answers to that, but it's about scripting your own life in the way that you desire and recognizing that that responsibility is yours and yours only.
Yeah, I think that's a great exercise for this episode. Scripting. Do some journaling and script your day or script your week. Write a script for yourself and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So talk us through what that could look like.
So it could look like you can do it once a week, or you can maybe do it once a day if you have the time. You have time. You might say you don't have time. You have 5 minutes. You definitely have 5 minutes. You take out your notebook and since we talked about kids, let's say your daughter has been acting up and you just don't want to deal with that anymore. You can start writing down things like, my daughter is such a spirited soul, and she brings light to this life, and she is excellent at dancing, or she's excellent at writing her little books, or she's excellent this and that. Just write a few sentences. Like, how would you want it to see? Not what you need to see, but how would you want to see this relationship go?
Mm-hmm. I love that. And is this what we refer to as creating your vision board? Is this similar to, being able to do a little bit of the law of attraction kind of thing?
Oh, it's definitely law of attraction. I wouldn't call it a vision board as much, because you will not have a picture glued to a piece of paper. we have a funny story about vision boards anyway. But
we're creating one for you. Stay tuned. $199.
Might be a little more than $199.
We'll see. But introductory price.
Introductory prize. I like that. Yes. Coming your way soon. You're going to want it. You don't need it, but you'll want it.
You guys, if only you knew how true this is. This is how we're going to become billionaires, because we have the most fantastic vision board in creation for you guys.
Yes. So it's those little scripting exercises, definitely a little bit of a law of attraction, and bringing in what it is that you want instead of what you need. And simple as that, writing few sentences first thing in the morning, that sets a tone, that sets an intention for your day.
Okay, so intention setting. And one thing that you remind me of, Ulo, you reminded me of when you were talking, is that this is also just a practice in focusing our attention on what we desire instead of what we're lacking. Again, need. When you talk about things, when you look at the world through that lens of need, you're reinforcing what you don't have. And when you reinforce what you don't have, you get more of what you don't have. But if you shift to looking at a person through the lens of, you know, they need to do this, they need to do that, all that, you're going to not feel good about them. But if you shift and look at them through everything that they have that you love, and you, I remember you, honey, telling me this, right? What do you love about this person? Mm-hmm. What if you focused on that instead? And all of a sudden you soften into letting go of a lot of that internal unconscious need to be right, to be in control, right? These have come up for me personally over and over again as I'm untangling myself from that being like the centerpiece of my life. And that takes me all the way back to childhood, right? That's, I had to be the one with straight A's. I had to be the number one in class. I had to be the best at whatever. And that it created this belief within me that there's a right way and a wrong way in life. And the only way to ensure a right way in my world is to control everything. But that actually is reinforcing that my life is dependent on my external situation. Everything outside of me, I need to control and change in order for me internally to be happy, versus how do I start internally and then let that naturally shift everything that's happening externally? So this intention setting exercise can be a beautiful way to start to change the way your brain operates, because your brain also is just defaulting to what's natural, right? You've created habits in your brain. So this is also how you create a new neural pathway. And for those of us that come from trauma in our past lives, this is super important. Your neural pathways, for anybody, trauma or not, default to a certain outcome. If you have a thought, a stimulus, your brain takes that stimulus in, it filters it through a certain lens, that's your default lens, and then it tends to put it in a category in the filing cabinet of your life, and then you respond according to what else is in that file. Once you start changing your thoughts over and over again, you create that new neural pathway that allows that a new filing system to be brought in that doesn't default to what's already happened in the past. And when you come from trauma, this becomes so much more important to be mindful of, that you can practice this, but the layer before, you have to calm yourself down. Your nervous system has to know it's safe for you to entertain a new pathway. And this is where we talk a lot about the reset remedy. So, you know, get the reset remedy, practice a reset remedy. Next, you know, step from that can be meditation, which a lot of times can be a hard place to go to, but it is a beautiful place to reinforce these new neural pathways. Most importantly, though, letting your nervous system know, okay, we got this. You can chill out. It's safe to create a new reality for you.
Yeah. And once you get to that new reality, it becomes easier to create even better new reality. And you just take these little steps, and step by step by step, you'll get to the space that you wake up happy. Mm-hmm. And your brain is not going a million miles an hour through everything that's going to be wrong or everything that went wrong yesterday. Because that's a lot of times, that's your default place when you wake up. Yeah. And there is a lot of that, you know, well, she needs to do this and he needs to do that. And those people need to do this. And like you said, that you start feeling better about the other people. But I think what is even more important is that you start feeling better about yourself.
Yeah.
And you feel better internally. So even if those people stay assholes, you still feel calm and happy within you, and it doesn't bother you anymore that they're not doing exactly what you want them to do.
1,000,000%, honey. And this is huge, 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 huge practice in trusting yourself and knowing how freaking magical you are. This is seriously, honey, like this is something that has been unfolding for me this week super juicily, is all the times that focus on external starts to happen. If we take back one thread, it connects directly to trust. And it's not trust in other people, it's trusting yourself. And when we don't trust ourselves, that's when we doubt. And we usually don't trust ourselves because we are afraid. And if we look at that layer of fear, it's directly related to us assuming that a loss is right underneath waiting to pop up, whether it's a loss of respect, which is self-respect, actually, not loss of respect with other people, whether it's a loss of a relationship physically or through death. Well, I mean, they are the same. Physically or through death. Okay, what is that? What the fuck does that mean? But there's like always, there's loss. And what is loss? Loss is a death of something. So everything always comes back to death. But if we can start to untangle ourselves from that, we're going to die. Everybody's going to die. Everything's going to die and go through that transition. But what is death? It's just a transition of energy from one physical space to non-physical, to being back in that infinite realm where everything is magical and beautiful and effortless. That is what we're inviting in right now. And this is a beautiful way for all of you that are listening today to just do a reflective check-in with how much of your life is being driven by need. And how is that reflective of you defaulting to the belief that you are only able to be as happy as the external world allows you, versus you taking ownership that the external world is solely a reflection of your internal state, and that the work is here for you to step into effortlessly if you are willing to allow it by just shifting your perspective?
Yeah, I think that's the big word, the willing. Because it is available for all of us, but are you willing to take the ownership of your own thoughts and the fact that you are creating what's around you? Because it can be scary. It can be. Yeah. And like you said, it's a lot of work. So again, I keep saying this, but be kind to yourself and be gentle with yourself. If you can immediately get to a better, a quote unquote, better place in your life, just forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. You've been practicing your thoughts forever. So just allow yourself to change little by little, because it's going to happen. It just takes some time.
Yeah. And once you get some momentum going, the time that it takes starts to lessen drastically. Mm-hmm. And the momentum starts to build, and it can just be little shifts. Like this morning, sweetie, the quote that you sent me by Abraham, right? It can be laughter. All of a sudden, it gets you right back in alignment. It can be lightness. It can be eating ice cream, taking a break for a nap, going into nature. So many things that really just are tools of assistance. We can receive them more powerfully. And these little tools that we think don't really mean much suddenly become powerful co-creators in our joy. And again, back to allowing it. That's a huge one. Because sometimes we are the biggest roadblocks to our happiness. Right?
Yep. You just need to trust yourself.
Yeah. And celebrate, right? This is something that I remember telling so many of my clients, that make celebration part of the journey, because we don't celebrate the little wins enough. And if you can just take a moment, even when you're doing that intention setting in the morning, to focus on what you want to celebrate, right? What happened yesterday that you're so proud of yourself for, and really giving yourself that moment to be like, dude, I am such a fucking rock star. I kick ass. Look at this progress that I have made, and constantly seeing, instead of constantly seeing things through that lens of need. Oh, I need to change this. I need to be more compassionate. I need to be more understanding. I need to do that. That just sends you down another spiral of self-beratement.
Yeah. And those little celebrations can even be, hey, you paid your taxes. Yay, I paid my taxes. Look at me.
Yeah.
But I did it. I'm awesome.
Absolutely. I wanted to pay those taxes so badly, and I got to, and life is great. And thank goodness I have wonderful streets to drive on, that we have schools for our children, that we've got trees outside to give us beautiful love. These are all the benefits that we can look at if we're willing to let go of the need.
All right. I think it's time to say goodbye for this week. And I can't wait to see what we're going to be talking about next week, because we don't know yet.
We will find out.
Bye.
Bye.